Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Heart, an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life Church. Our ministry website is www.newvisionforlife.com, where we align our heart with the heart of God. Please join our hosts, Apostle Eddie Banks and Minister Tabika Garnes, as we get to the heart of the matter.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Good morning, beloved. This is Apostle Etta Banks, your host on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. And I'm also pastor of New Vision for Life Church. Truly so glad to be with you again this day. Unfortunately, Minister Tabir will not be with us today, so you've got it all to yourself. And I pray that we have an awesome time together. I want to say good morning to Tamika Shelton, to Joy Esther Richardson, to Denise in Pennsylvania, Isaiah in Chicago, Isaiah in Pennsylvania, praise be unto God, to Deacon Thomas Barr, to him and his wife Desiree, and they're both still recuperating. We want to thank God for that. We also want to say good morning to the Crawfords of Tennessee. Praise God. Thank you for joining us. To Prophetess Dawn, Prophetess Kim, always a pleasure to have you on board with us. It's an awesome, awesome time in the Lord, and so glad that you could be with us. Want to say good morning to Deacon Banks, to Rob in Pennsylvania. Praise God. I tell you, I love seeing my callers. And yes, I know the same ones because these are the people I know their numbers and names that go with it. I know them personally. You know, if you want me to give you a personal shout out, hit me up at heart2heart@newvisionlife.com and I will personal shout out. Praise God. Also, let's see. There was one other person, praise God, that I wanted to say good morning to, and I forgot who it was. Of course, I want to say Tabika, you know, even though she's not here with us, I'm actually doing a teach this morning. So she calls in, and while she's aware of what she's doing, she calls in, and I'm always glad, you know, to know she's here. I miss her when she's not on the air me, but blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. All of the members of New Vision Life, good morning to you all. Good morning, good morning. And to New York, I think I forgot her. So good morning to you, darling. All right, beloved. All right. Well, I pray you've had an awesome week thus far, and that this will just add on to the blessing. This will add on to it. I pray that all of you as listening to our show, that you are learning about spiritual gifts. It's helping you to understand more and more about you, why you respond to things the way that you do, why you see things and wonder why other people don't see it, why they don't get it. It's because you found out that, hey, we're all uniquely made with a special purpose in heart, a unique purpose only given to us by the Holy Spirit. We thank God for who we are. I want you to appreciate who you are. Many of you will find out as we're doing these spiritual gifts that you are very strong in three or four of these categories. Others, you'll find out that you have your primary gift. You are very strong in that. And then there'll be the secondary and the third. And you're not as strong, of course, as the primary gift. And that's absolutely okay. That's the way it's supposed to be. Understand that in the seven gifts, all of us have all of them within us. They're all in us. Every last one of these gifts, they're there for the purpose of being used by God at any given time He chooses to do so. any given time that he chooses to do so. And because we have the Holy Spirit in us, we have all of these gifts in us. These are spiritual gifts. However, you will function in a primary gift more than you do all the rest of the gifts. So I hope this is being helpful. Please remember that you are able to press 1 on your keypad to come on live and may ask a question. Praise God. You may ask a question, and you may also make comments. Now, I need someone please to text me back. Let me know, or either do so just on the phone here. Press 1 on your keypad. Am I still breaking up? I got a text saying that I was breaking up before. Am I still breaking up? So either press 1 on your keypad and let me know, or text me and let me know. I want to be sure things are as clear as they possibly can be. Amen. Amen. Yes, it is still breaking up. Okay, let me see. My goodness, okay. I don't know if I can. All right, let me see here if I can fix that. Y'all just be patient with me. So this is why it's good to have Minister Tabika with me. One of us can work on that while the other one is still doing this. Praise be unto God. But I'll see what I can do to correct that. Please be patient with me, beloved. Please. Thank you. Okay. Yes. Okay. Let's see if I do this. That's not right. I'm sorry, love. Just hang in there with me. Let's see.
You will be able to listen to the show.
Amen. 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 Okay, we're getting some feedback. Just a moment. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thanks. Look, we're gonna go ahead and go before the Lord in prayer. Pray that this corrects itself. One moment, please. Yes.
Good morning, Joyce.
Sounds like I'm underwater. Okay, one second, honey. Okay. Okay, how about this now?
Good.
I'm sorry, what did you say, honey?
Good. It's better.
It's better? Okay, all righty.
Yes.
Joyce Richardson, yes, beloved?
Yes. Yes, it's sounding much better.
Much better now. All right, beloved. Both my Joyces were there. All right. And Teresa, all of you, thank you so very much. Thank you so very much. I'm going to put you back in the chamber. Praise God. Thank you for letting me know. Okay. All righty, loves. All right. We're going to open in prayer. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we do thank you. We honor you. We bless you. We magnify your holy name because truly you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are the great I am, the Alpha and the Omega, and Lord God, there is none like you. I thank you for this awesome day, Lord God. I thank you because, Lord God, you brought us safely through the night. I praise your name, Lord God, that you decided that we had another day in which to worship you first and foremost, to honor you, to glorify your holy name, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, that you gave us another opportunity to fulfill our assignment here on earth. Lord, I pray that every single need on this line is met today, that every sickness is healed, every form of bondage we are delivered from in the name of Jesus, Lord God. I pray every financial need, spiritual need, physical need, emotional, mentally, every single need is met today in the name of Jesus. Lord God, we take nothing from you and give you back to you, Lord God, all that you have blessed us with and using it also for the kingdom of God. For this is our way of saying thank you for doing what you did. God, we don't know why it is that you loved us so much that you gave your only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him, Lord God, would not perish, but have everlasting life. And Father, we thank you for this love. May we go about, oh God, exemplifying the fruit of the Spirit, oh Father, that others will come to know you through our lives being an example. Let us continue to be the walking epistles that you have assigned for such a time as this. May we all learn how to do unto others, Lord God, as you would have us to do. Lord, I thank you, I honor you, I bless you, I give you all the glory and the honor. In Jesus' awesome, magnificent name, amen and amen. Amen and amen. Praise God, praise God. Amen. Well, all right, loves, listen, we have gone over several of our gifts. I don't remember all of the ones we did right now. I know we did the giver, the exalter, the perceiver, the teacher. What else did we do? The perceiver, the teacher, the server. Yes, we did the server. And last week we did, who did we do last week? Okay, we did the exalter, I think, 2 weeks ago. Last week we did the giver. Amen. That's right, we did the giver. And today we're going over the administrator, over the administrator. All of you administrators on this line today, please be blessed and encouraged. And we thank God for you because there's no way that we, in the body of Christ, in corporate America, in entrepreneurship, any business that you have, anything, there's no way that it would be successful without having someone that has these administrative skills and the gift of administration. So let's delve into this and see what our book says. By the way, for all of you newcomers, and there are quite a few of you today, we're using the book by Don and Katie Fortune called Discover Your God-Given Gifts. Discover Your God-Given Gifts. And in this book, you will learn why you think and act the way you do, how the gifts affects your relationships, what careers or ministries suit you best, and how using your gifts will bring you joy. And that's what we are looking at as we continue with these teachings. So now, the administrator, we're going through the 20 characteristics of the administrator. The administrator is a born leader. They will emerge into leadership just as surely as Joseph, our biblical example, did. Now, when we look at leadership, you know, leaders or administrators, they could be facilitators, organizers, rulers, leaders, superintendents, etc. And the Greek word for it, I cannot pronounce the Greek word, but I can tell you that it means to stand before or to preside, to stand before or to preside. So that is, you know, the summary, a quick summary of the administrator. Now, their first motivational gift skill is that they are highly motivated to organize that for which he or she is responsible. Administrators love a challenge. They love to dig in and develop or organize anything that they're in charge of. The natural motivation here is a creative desire to take raw material and people and produce something that has never been, like organizing an office, setting up a committee, or developing a project. Administrators love these challenges. You will find out that when you have these people around you, they will do those things naturally. They don't have to ponder on how to do it. They will do it naturally. An organizer leader is by job requirement a jack of all trades, but the master of none. They must have a wide range of interests and ability, but those who carry out specific tasks will be more capable and specialized. And in order to supervise effectively, he or she needs to know a little bit about a lot of things. And I find that out as I've worked with administrators. They know something about so much that gives them the ability, you know, to lead others and direct others through certain projects and so forth. You can depend on your administrator, you know, to handle things and have things running smoothly for you. Number two, they express ideas and organization in ways that communicate clearly. An administrator is excellent, and they are excellent communicators. They look for ways to express what they want to say clearly and effectively. Believing that a picture is truly worth a thousand words, they like to use charts and diagrams and outlines and graphs and other visual aids. Again, this is why I love my administrators. I love it. And there are times when I want to say something and I don't express it as clearly as I should, but the administrator that's working with me can say exactly what it is I'm trying to say. And I say, that's exactly what I wanted to get across. And they're able to express it. They have a clear view of things. And so they're able to get the thought across to others. They do like to keep things, and I might be jumping ahead again here, things very well organized, charts, filing things, being sure that everything is in place. They love visual aids. And again, this is how the administrator operates. Now, they respect and handle authority well. Again, maybe I'll stop saying this, but every time I'm saying it, I'm thinking of the administrators that I'm working with, and I'm like so grateful for them. They respect and handle authority well. Administrators understand and honor and respect authority structures. They feel comfortable with them, whether they're at the top or somewhere in within the system. Administrators want to know how much authority they have and what authority they do not have, for they respect those limits. They like to have exact parameters defined so they will not inadvertently step outside of it, and they like the freedom within those parameters to be their own boss. They are creative and productive given the situation, stifled and inhibited without it. And I'm smiling as I'm reading this and sharing that, because I have an administrator that works close with me, and the administrator, holds a ministerial title and so forth and so on, and shows the utmost respect for me, definitely calls me to check to see what parameter should she work within, because she doesn't want to go outside of that. And when you give her the go-ahead, she goes, she takes it, gets the job done, and it's absolutely phenomenal. And there are times, you know, like I could be and should be sometimes answering to her, but she always respects the authority and does accordingly, and I admire that. I admire that. So praise be unto God. Number four, the administrator will not assume leadership unless it is delegated by those in authority. And listen, for all of us that are in authority, again, this is something that we appreciate to the utmost from the administrators. Because of their own keen respect for authority, the administrator will never deliberately usurp authority. Therefore, in any situation where authority exists, the administrator will not try to move in to utilize his or her own skills, no matter how needed it is, unless those in authority ask him or her to do so. Now, please understand that. There will be times when you're in a group situation, you have an administrator there, the administrator sees what needs to be done, knows how to do exactly what needs to be done, but unless they are given permission by someone in authority to go ahead and do so, they're not going to usurp the authority and do so. They're not going to usurp the authority. When an authoritative person is there on site, they will not usurp that authority. Now listen to the very next trait. The administrator will assume leadership when there's no specific leadership, where no specific leadership exists. So let's go back to the situation. There's situations where there's no existing leadership or authority structure. It is the administrator who will most naturally step in and take charge. They will step in, they will take charge, they will divide large groups into subgroups, they will give everybody a task to do, and it's the administrator who emerges as the spontaneous leaders of the individual units. And so that is something. Now, you heard me just say before, they will not go above the authority that's there. They will not step in and do something that they have not been given permission to do. They will see it, and it will be driving them crazy, you know, because they're not doing something, and they see that it needs to be done, and the person in authority has not released them to do so. On the reverse side of that, the flip side, if that person, that authoritative person, the manager, the pastor, the CEO, whoever it is, if they are not there, that administrator will step in and take the authoritative role and see to it that everything is in place. The administrator would prefer to be appointed ahead of time to take the lead, but when a group is floundering with no designated leadership, they will take the reins and run with it. They will take it and run with it. The sixth thing is they especially love working on long-range goals and projects. While the server enjoys short-term goals, you know, 2 days, 2 weeks, you know, short-term goals, the administrator thrives on long-term projects. It's all right for it to be a 2-year project. They prefer being able to put their teeth into something that's going to take a long time to do because they like seeing themselves in that long-range plan and establishing the shorter-range goals along the way. So they're seeing successes along the way, but they know that this is a long-term project, and they enjoy doing that. The administrator is the one who attends time management seminars. They want to increase their skills in handling projects of significant size. You can depend on them. Now, one thing when I read this about attending time management seminars, let me tell you another one that's not mentioned in their skill set, but let me tell you another group of people that attend time management and goal setting seminars, and that is the Exalter. And why do we attend those things? That is an area, goal setting and time management is something that is the biggest challenge for us as an Exalter. We go to these meetings because we desire to improve, so we go to these seminars. And a lot of times we come back and we're good for a week or two, and we go right back to our old pattern. We go right back to the old pattern. Again, this is why I thank God for who He is and what He does by making all of us so different that we are pieces of a puzzle fit in there together where we're interdependent on one another to make this thing work, to make it work. Beloved, let me tell you something. If 5 of you called me right now today and asked me for an appointment and we set an appointment, most of you will write down your appointment and you will know when the appointment is. I will sit here and, okay, I'm going to do a couple of things. I have a piece of paper here on my desk. I'll write down the name and write the appointment on that piece of paper. And I'll do that with all 5 of you, probably write it on 5 different pieces of paper. And when it's all over with, you know, I don't know where the papers are. I don't know who I made the appointment for what day, what time. I don't put it in my phone and on my calendar the way that I should. But yet I took goal setting and I took time management. And I'm telling you, if I don't call the administrator and my armor bearer and say, okay, look, I got this appointment, that appointment, that appointment, that appointment. If I don't tell them what appointments I have so they can call me and say, okay, Apostle, you got this appointment. You're meeting so-and-so at such and such a place, yada, yada, yada. If they don't do it, beloved, I'm telling you, I would be lost. I would be lost. Thank you, administrators. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Amen. The administrator is also a visionary person with a broad perspective. Proverbs 29:18, let me tell y'all before I even quote what it says, 29:18 is the scripture that new vision is founded on. This is the scripture, and it tells us that where there is no vision, the people perish. And happy is he who keeps the law. Amen. And so the administrator is a visionary person with a broad prospect. Vision is needed to keep people in focus, whether it's in business or faith. A good leader is a person of vision and upholding that vision for others to see. He or she can inspire great accomplishments. That vision can be anything from a revelation of God as to his particular purposes for a particular group to the simple ability to visualize how people can work together to accomplish a common goal. Absolutely something that is needed. Along with the vision comes a specific type of faith. Administrators believe that they can accomplish, with the help of others, what they are able to visualize. Administrators often have vision beyond the scope of the people they lead, but those people who follow are steered on and kept on course by the vision of the leader. Administrators, you know, when it said that their vision is can go beyond the scope of the people that they're dealing with, the thing is, to administrate, you need to, you have people that you are delegating things to, that you're leading. And remember, the administrator is a natural leader. So for those of you, you know, that that think in corporate America, when you have an administrative assistant and you think that they're just, they are a glorified secretary, you're wrong. The administrative assistant is look, the man, the CEO, the president of the company, the pastor of the church, whatever the case may be, that administrator is helping that person run the business, run the ministry. They are extremely important. So you need to treat them with the utmost respect. And for those of you that do sales and marketing and you have to go through a secretary or an admin assistant to see the boss, you better treat those administrators with the utmost respect, because depending on them will determine whether you get through the door to see the very persons that you want to see. They have that much clout, so mind them carefully. Praise be unto God. Now, the administrator easily facilitates resources and people to accomplish tasks or goals. Like one who loves to put pieces of a puzzle together, the administrator loves to fit people and resources together to facilitate a task. They're able to identify a task that needs to be done and the people that would be able to accomplish that task, and then give them the free range to get that done. So they love doing that, and they like to stand back and look and see, okay, that is working well. They love to do that. So again, fitting the people together with the task. Then the ninth thing is they love delegating tasks and supervising people. Administrators love to tell people what to do, and we mean that in a positive sense. They easily see what jobs that need to be done. They seem to know who can do them well. They enjoy distributing work in such a way that it will bring about the maximum satisfaction and accomplishments. And again, I see this working so well with the people that surround me, with the people that surround me. You know, seeing this, that, and the other, and bless their hearts, you know, to so that I also maintain my responsibilities and maintain my role. You know, they will see something and say, Apostle, this, that, and the other needs to be done. And then I go forth and do exactly what it is that needs to be done. But I've done so because the administrator has recognized it and has brought it to my attention. Now, with that being said as well, all of us that are in the leadership position, in form of authority, we must respect the voice of our administrators, because they're gifted to lead. They're gifted, they're an extreme support in our ministry and in our business. They have insight on things that me as the exalter might overlook. They have insight. So do not be offended when the administrator is telling you what to do, but understand that if your administrators are anything like the women that work with me, they're telling you with the utmost respect, never stepping out of line when it comes to respecting the authority, and they have a way of sharing with you where you don't mind listening to someone who is not your boss, yet they can tell you what it is that needs to be done. So remember, the respect goes both ways. It goes both ways. Number 10, administrators will endure criticism in order to accomplish the ultimate task. Leaders get criticized. Let me say that again to all of you that are listening right now. Leaders get criticized. It seems to be a part of the occupational hazard of administration. There are always those who feel the leader should do things differently or slower or faster or more carefully or more daringly or whatever. And, that you know, somebody always wants to be telling the administrator what to do. The administrator will not allow such criticism to sidetrack them or stop them. They keep their eyes on the goal. They keep their eyes on the goal. Again, praise be unto God. Let me say this, and this is for anybody, and this I'm speaking, well, I guess in any field, and I wanted to say especially in ministry, if you cannot take criticism from your pastor, if you cannot take rebuke and reprimand from your pastor, and you are operating in leadership, that may need to be reevaluated, because that is going to happen. Look, we are all human. We all make mistakes. We all need to be led in some way, shape, or form. We need to follow in some way, shape, or form. We need to be corrected. We need to be mentored. All of these things. And with that, you know, criticism is going to come along with that. And you may not like what it is that's being said to you, but understand that coming from your pastor or the person that's the head of the ministerial group that you are serving on, that it should be done in love, praise be to God, with love it should be done. And, you know, y'all should be able to work through the criticism in order to get the task accomplished. So I pray that that helps someone. Yes, we have pastors and supervisors on jobs that are totally out of line, totally are abusive with their authority, and that is not a way to honor God or to honor man. It is not how God equipped us to work with one another, but you will find this. And when that happens, I as a leader, I apologize that something like that would happen to you. Please be in prayer. Please ask Holy Spirit to give you a way to communicate with the person that is abusing you, to communicate with them in a way that there may be a happy landing space for the both of you, that you're able to cooperate and to work together. That type of authoritative abuse should not take place. It should not take place. So be praying and asking God how to handle anything like that. When someone else, a pastor once said that the problem of working with a church is that you have people. When you have people, you have problems. Thanks to God, with people, with all of us, there's always a problem. There's always something that's going on there. Someone else once answered an outspoken critic of churches. And this I love. Elder West was the first person I heard say this, and he has said it over the years. And here it is in the book today, and it says, there are no perfect churches. Okay, Faith, listen now. There are no perfect churches. And if you find one and join it, it would not be perfect anymore. Okay? Because you are imperfect. So therefore, the church would no longer be perfect. But there are no perfect churches. We all can find something wrong with every single church we have ever visited. We all can find something wrong. And every church is not for everybody. Every church is not for everybody. So be sure that you're asking God to lead and guide you, you know, as you're looking for a home church. And those of you that are in a home church and you feel that this isn't a good fit, again, pray. Pray. There are times that you're put there to accomplish something. There are times you're put there, you know, to teach and to lead and to guide something. So just ask the Lord, you know, how does this fit in your purpose? How does it fit? So now, if you know any administrators, and I said this earlier, please pray for them. They are being bombarded more than their share when it comes to taking criticism. So pray for the administrators that you know. It could be your wife, your husband. It could be your daughter and son. You know, any armor bearer, your secretaries, whatever the case may be, pray for the administrators because they take a lot from those that are not only in authority, but those that they supervise, those that they lead. They take a lot of criticism from them. Number 11 is that they have great zeal and enthusiasm for whatever he or she is involved in. Enthusiasm emanates naturally from the administrator. The Amplified Bible says that administrators are to do their job with zeal and singleness of mind. The word for the administrator here, or the zeal, is translated as diligence. They had to go about it with diligence. It is as if God had given the administrator the ability to throw all of his or her efforts into a situation in order to see it to a conclusion. So they you'll find them being excited about what it is that they have to do. They have a lot of zest and zeal when they go about things. And again, this is a good for the ministry. Now, oh, by the way, let me remind you all that if you have a remark to make, you can press 1 on your keypad and I will bring you in. And if you have a question, I can also bring you in so that you can ask your questions prayerfully that I have an answer for you. Okay, let me see here. 1 second here. We have... okay, good morning, beloved. How are you, sweetheart? Hello, your last 4 digits, 4405.
My apologies, I forgot I was calling from my house phone. How are you? Good morning.
I'm fine, darling. How are you?
I am blessed. I thank God for you talking about the administrator today. This past week, I was having a conversation with one, and, you know, she was telling me some things that she had to do on her to-do list because she's starting a new business and everything. And when you got to the part when you were saying the administrator needs a team to accomplish whatever they're trying to accomplish, and it's so ironic to see, like, administrators are take chargers, yet they need a team to accomplish what they're trying to accomplish.
Right.
But then when it comes to a server, when it comes to a task, servers will take off and do it by themselves.
Right.
So when she was telling me her challenges, because she felt like she could not do things without a team. And I'm sitting here like, yes, you can. You know, I'm trying to empower her and just go forward. You can do this. And all you got to do is just take one step at a time and do this and do that. And she could not grasp what I was saying. Like, it just was not going to happen. And I hung up the phone exhausted and so frustrated. Because I had poured out so much, and it's like she didn't pick up a drop. And
wow.
And so wow. I thank God for you reminding me of an administrator. Administrator is like fourth or fifth on my list.
Mm-hmm.
So reminded me of what the challenges of the challenges and the gifting of an administrator. So now I can better understand why she felt like she could not accomplish her aspirations. Because I'm thinking, like, you know, because with God things are seasonal. You don't want to miss this window of opportunity. She says, I know exactly what I want done. I know exactly when I want it done. I can tell you it by remembrance in my mind. Like, I want this and done, this done. But she could not accomplish it without a team.
Amen.
So thank
Amen.
You.
Amen.
It's just amazing how they're polar opposite in some ways.
Right, right. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for sharing that. And folks, that's what we are trying to accomplish here. You know, when you heard her, she's a server. The woman of God that just spoke, a server. She will go and she will do her task, bam, 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 like she said, by herself. And so naturally when she's ministering to someone and talking to them, she's looking through her eyes. She's looking through the eyes of a server. And the administrator is saying, okay, I know exactly what needs to be done, but I need people in those spots to do them. And the server is saying, no, you don't. You can do it yourself. And that's not how they operate. And so this is what we want to accomplish, for you to be able to identify these things in others, and then you're able to back up and regroup on how you speak with them, how you help them, and the same with them with you. You know, it makes a difference. And now she knows that even though she said the person did not, they did not get it, you know, now she has an understanding on why they didn't get it and can go back and regroup and present it in a different manner. You know, maybe help find a team that could work with her, whatever the case may be. But this is what we want to accomplish. Thank you so very much, Minister Sabrina. Thank you, love.
Am I still on?
Yes, I can mute you now if you want. Are you still on? You can say what you want to say.
May I ask you a question?
You may.
Okay. So as I was ministering to her, I kept feeling like she was in a season where God wanted her to lean on him.
Mm-hmm.
So if that was the case and he wants her to seek him for guidance in starting her business, what would you say to an administrator who feels like they can't do it without a team?
Okay, see, now let's look at God wanting her to seek him. Let's look at that. The seeking of him would mean one thing to you and another thing to her.
Okay,
she
gotcha.
Could seek him for the team that's supposed to be helping her, seeking him, you know, for location and so forth. But there is, and that is her really still depending on him and seeking him. And there may be those individual things that he wants her to get strictly from him and nobody else. But since he equipped her that way, he's not putting her in a place where she has to operate completely out of her gifting, what motivates her, and so forth. that may cause failure. He didn't set her up to fail. Does that make sense?
Makes a lot of sense, a whole lot of sense. Thank you.
Amen. You're more than welcome, sweetheart. You're more than welcome. Thank you for the question. Thank you, thank you. Amen. All righty, saints. We're going to move on to number 13. Number 12. It's number 12. I don't know whether I did 12 or 13. Let's do 12. They find the greatest fulfillment and joy in working to accomplish a goal. Servers work towards immediate goals, experiencing joy as each one is accomplished. For an administrator with their long-range project, the point of joy is often way down the road for them. It could be way down the road, but they are, and that's why those short-term goals within the long-term goals, those are good for the administrator, but when they go into something, they're looking for that good joy, we accomplished this thing. They're looking for that way down the road at the end of this thing being done. Me, I need to see small successes along the way because I can get discouraged if I don't see that this is worth going on. I can get very sidetracked, distracted, you know, because I see, oh, I can accomplish this over here and get that done now. I can do that now. This other thing that's taking forever to do, man, I lose interest in it after a while. And again, that's the exalter. Amen. Number 13, they are willing to let others get the credit in order to get a job done. The mature administrator does not worry about getting credit for the accomplishments. Like anyone else, he or she enjoys a pat on the back, but would rather share the credit with the whole group. He or she sees successes as a collective achievement. It is not false modesty when the administrator refuses accolades, insisting none of this could have happened if it had not been for the excellent work of my associates. They really mean it. They see themselves as facilitators and others as the real accomplishers. So thank you for those administrators. Number 14, they prefer to move on to a new challenge once something is completed. Once the administrator completes a goal, they are ready to move on. Some assume that once an organizer gets a business or a church group functioning, he or she would enjoy staying at the helm or continuing to coordinate. Not so. Once the system is running smoothly, he or she would rather turn it over to someone else and move on to new challenges. And move on. Number 15, they constantly write notes to themselves. This character applies to all with the gift of administrating without exception. They daily write reminder notes to themselves and make lists of things to do, calls to make, and goals to accomplish. Administrators tend to have so many things on their mind that if they don't write something down when they think of it, they're apt to forget it. I know a male administrator that has a little spiral pocket notebook, and everything that they have to do, everything, it goes in that notebook. It goes in that notebook. If they are talking on the phone and they remember they got to get something from the store, out comes the notebook, they write it down. If they remember they have to run certain errands, they write it down. And this has nothing to do with old age, being forgetful because of age or anything like that. It is an administrative characteristic that they cannot seem to avoid doing. They write everything down. And if they don't write it down, it can and will be forgotten. Number 16, they are natural and capable leaders. Natural and capable leaders. One of the things that we've learned about administrators is that they do not do well in any kind of dual leadership. They have a strong conviction about the way that they lead. Each one has his or her own style, and two leaders will clash. They far prefer to be given specific areas in which they are in sole charge than to be placed in what they view as the no man's land tandem leadership. As one man put it, I'd rather follow than to try to share leadership on an equal basis with another administrator. So be mindful of that, folks, as we're placing people, you know, in leadership positions. You know, be mindful of trying to put two administrators at the helm and both of them running it. One can be the lead, the other can be an assistant, and in that position you must identify what it is the assistant is supposed to do, what it is the lead person is supposed to do, so that authority isn't usurped, so that there's no clashing, so that they have their boundaries in order to work in peace, in order to work in peace. Number 17, they know when old methods are working and when to introduce new ones. In any group or organization where a method of operation has been established, people feel at ease with it. But when an administrator is placed in leadership, he or she may see that changes are necessary. Yet it is not easy to move people out of their comfort zone. The adjustment calls for great wisdom, and administrators have this. Administrators have that. So, again, be mindful. I told you they're very important, so we need to listen and pay attention. And when you have an administrator that has, a perceiver that has administrative being their secondary gift, or the administrator having the perceiver as their secondary gift, you have the leaders with the prophetic word that is hearing from God, and this is very good, very, very good to have the two of those working together, those two gifts working together. Prophecy or prophetic, perceiving what it is, the will of God, and then the administrator part that's able to see that task, get the vision of it, see it, and then put the team together to follow it through to the end. To God be the glory. Number 18, they enjoy working with or being around people. Administrators are people. They share this characteristic with the exalters, hello, except that the motivation in their case is not to encourage, but to get to know, to learn from, and to interact with. Administrators are great observers of human behavior and are constantly learning how to work with people more effectively. So your exalters are there to encourage people, and the administrator is looking at the human behavior, you know, and learning how to work more effectively with people, getting to know them, to learn from them, and to interact more so with them. But they're both people. And I know I keep going back to the people that work with me. In order to work with me, because I am a people person, and if you're a pastor, it definitely does help to be a people person. And listen, you know, that may sound funny, but there's some pastors in that role that really are not people person. You know, some of them, they got in that role because a parent left them to take over the church and do so, or they got in that role because a parent said that they, this is what they should be doing, and they're doing it, that job, and they are not people persons. And there's nothing wrong with this, y'all. You don't have to be a people person to be in a form of ministry. Pastors definitely need to be people persons. Administrators need to be people person, because that administrator is walking very close with the pastor, dealing with people, seeing to it that things get done. And so it's vitally important to know how to communicate with people and so forth. It's so vitally important. I just had a discussion with somebody that, blessed be the name of the Lord, somebody that was going to get their CDL, and looking at, you know, the trucking business and so forth, and they spent a few days in the trucking, in the classes, and they called me and said, Apostle, please help me, and, you know, and shared their thoughts about some things. Well, me knowing the person like I know them, I knew that that was not going to work for them. This person is definitely a people person. Has not the truckers aren't, y'all, but truckers can work, you know, many hours in the truck by themselves, and they're there. This person's personality, they're an exalter. They would go crazy on the road by themselves. This person is has the personality where they cannot do a 9-to-5 type of position. They need to own their own business, set their own time, work with people, have the freedom to be, you know, flexible and this, that, and the other. You can't do that when you are a driver for a company or driving your own rig. You know, you have a schedule that you have to follow. You got all kinds of regulations that you must follow. The slightest thing, you know, that takes you off track with that could be a problem. And so forth. So I knew his personality did not fit into that position. It did not fit into that position. And so after we discussed it, he was okay with the idea then of letting it go and really go into something that suits his motivational gift, the way God created him to be. Yes, there are truck drivers that are family men, lovers of people, you know, when they're not on the road, but they also have to have that motivational gift that causes them to be able to be isolated and by themselves for many, many hours. You know, a particular skill, a particular gifting does that. People that do IT, they don't mind not having a whole group of people around them all the time. You know, they can sit in front of a computer, work that computer all day, every day, 12 and 14 hours. The same thing with accountants. You know, they can do that type of stuff. They don't need to be around people to chit-chat with them and let's go have coffee and let's take this break and go do this and all of that type of stuff. They don't need people around them to do that. They're good at working that singular, I'm focused here, let me be. And listen, those of you that are seeking employment, it's important that you know these things about yourself. If you are a people person and got to always be around people, you love company, you're very sociable and so forth and so on, please do not go and try to work on something where you'll be in a cubicle by yourself, not being able to talk to other people and not having folks around you and so forth and so on. That would cause a problem for you. And then if it causes a problem for you, it'll cause a problem on the job. All right, 19. They want to see things completed as quickly and as effectively as possible. Administrators want to get the job done fast. They do not like delays, red tape, or people dragging their feet. They want to get the job done fast. Now, that might sound contradictory when we said that they love long-term tasks. They do love long-term tasks, but they want to see each part of that program done quickly and done with a spirit of excellence. They want that done. Just a moment, we have a caller that wishes to speak. Good morning, beloved. How are you today?
Hey, good morning. How are you?
I'm fine, Prophetess Kim. How you be?
Good, thanks. Just, you know, this is good because I'm listening and I'm like, you kind of, you know, describes me because I really am administrative. And when you said they want to get it done, the conflict part for me is, yes, we want to get it done quickly, as in there should be no hindrances. Don't drag your feet on whatever it is. Let's hit it. Let's get it done so we can move on to the next part of whatever. And I'm dealing with this even now. It's funny. I'm dealing with this in a something that I'm trying to organize. And it, for me, because when you're administrative, it's frustrating. It's like, why can't you just do A, B, C? So, you know, and it's amazing to me because it's like God is a God of order. So we have to have order. We have to have structure. So, you know, so, yeah. Now, long term, I don't know. I prefer to get it done fast. But if it's long term, I'm still a very focused person on the goal set at hand. And I guess that's the administrative part. It's like, I feel like I'm like Isaiah. I have my face set like a flint. I'm focused. It's like, this is where I'm going. I see the end before I even start. And it's like, these are the steps to get there. And it's like, let's get it done fast. Let's get this part done. Why is this taking so long when this is simple? So I'm just interjecting on the personal, because personally, that's me. So I just, you know.
That's good.
That's me.
Good. Amen. Amen. I love it. Yes,
amen.
Ma'am. Thank you, darling. Thank you. Amen. All righty. Number, let's see. Number 20. They do not enjoy doing repetitive or routine tasks. Boring. That sums up the administrator's opinion of repetition work. No challenge and no interest to them. The administrator would last no more than one day on an assembly line job. Hallelujah. Now, servers, on the other hand, might enjoy the security of a work routine where they knew exactly what was expected of them. But no wonder the administrators love having servers on their team so that they can delegate this kind of work to them. Okay, so Prophetess Kim, be sure you got some servers working with you, beloved, to get those things done. The ones that you're saying, why can't you do this, do that, and the other, they may not have that gifting to do so. But look for some servers to work with you. All right, beloved. So now we have covered the 20 characteristics of the administrator. Now, remember, those of you, all of us have every one of these gifts within us. So don't be thinking that you're afflicted, you're schizophrenic, you're this, that, not schizophrenic. That's what that man said, schizophrenic. Don't think that you are that because you're seeing yourself in all of these gifts. We all have these traits in us. Even someone, and then we all do not exemplify each one of these traits to the same degree or the same level. So do not be concerned. And someone that may be an administrator may have 17 out of these 20 things. That does not take them out of the role of being an administrator. You do not have to have all 20 of these things. These are just characteristics to help you identify who is an administrator. Now, let me take you to the five challenges. And remember, we're only looking at five challenges that the administrator has. Number one, they become upset when others do not share the same vision or goal. When the administrator finds their coworkers have stunted vision, that hampers the accomplishments of a goal. It is to them as a millstone around their neck. So they don't like it when others don't have the same vision or goal. Number two, they can develop outer callousness due to being a target for criticism. Anybody doesn't want to take criticism all the time. And you can harden your heart, you know, if somebody is badgering and beating on you all the time. If it is true, as a psychologist tells us, that for every negative word spoken against us, we need four positive words to neutralize the negative effect. Then it's clear why so many administrators build up the callousness to protect themselves from a barrage of criticism their position invites. So all of us that have administrators, be careful on how we are speaking to the administrator, because you do not want your administrator shutting down on you. You do not want that. So we need to be mindful of that. And remember, for every negative word, a psychologist said you need four positive words to neutralize it. I think you need about 10, okay, to neutralize it. And remember this, you can have 10 things on your list to do. You do 9 of them well. One of them is not done well. And the person with the wrong attitude will come by, say something about that one thing that you didn't do well, and your joy for the other 9 fly out of the window. It flies right out of the window. And so this is why it's so important, you know, that we're building one another up. We're encouraging one another, being supportive of one another, and watch how we speak to one another, because it definitely can cause a problem. You know, and James, it talks about that little member in our mouth, in that tongue, it's a powerful weapon. So be careful with that. Number three, they can regress into using people to accomplish their own goals. Administrators are so goal-oriented that they can forget people are not pawns to be moved about in a game of chess. It's not that they mean to do this. It just happens. They can push a good quality to an extreme until they become inconsiderate of or even hurtful to others. Administrators, be careful with that. Number four, they tend to drive themselves and neglect personal and family needs. Priority, priority, priority. That's what administrators need to keep in mind. The administrator can get overextended, become too committed to take on tasks. They take on too much for either their own good or their family's well-being. And their zeal for their work or ministry can leave those they love the most feeling neglected. So some excellent advice is given in Proverbs 31, where it says, she considers a new field before she buys or accepts it, and not courting a neglect of her present duties by assuming other duties. In other words, as you take on more, be sure that you're not taking on so much that you are neglecting your family or you're neglecting other duties in order to fulfill this particular thing. And number five, they neglect routine home responsibilities due to intense interest in the job. I've seen that more times than a few, administrative women do not have to love housework. A lot of administrative women felt bad about not being able to keep up their housework because they're doing the stuff that they do, you know, in the job and in the ministry and so forth. Housework must get done, but you don't neglect, you know, everything. Don't neglect your home to the extent that everybody is feeling it that much, okay? Do your job, be the administrator, give that all you can, and still find time to do the housework or whatever else it is you do. Administrative men, it's okay for you to hate yard work and cleaning out the gutters and repainting the house, but remember that those things still need to be done. You are the men who, along with career women, are most likely to become workaholics or married to your job. So watch it. Be careful. Be careful. There are those people that are so married to their jobs that they have no time to do anything else other than sleep and get back up for their jobs again. And so their whole life is neglected. All they do is work, 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 work. And social life is neglected. Ministry is neglected. Just being able to sit down with a couple of friends, I mean, that's all part of social life. These things are neglected. So be careful in that. So for all administrators, remember that your love for your job, your volunteer projects, your church work, or whatever it is you are involved in must not make you neglect life's necessary responsibility. You want to be sure you're taking care of those things. Whew. Beloved, we got through our administrator. We got through the administrator. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Next week, we will be doing the compassionate person, I believe. Let me see. Let me just double check. Let me see. Yes, we'll be doing the compassionate person, the motivational gift of compassion. And that might be the last one. I will double check. Yes, that's the last gift that we will have to speak about in discovering our God-given gift. Babies, I appreciate y'all so very much. I appreciate all of the input that was shared, and I truly, truly hope this is enlightening you. And take it and do the best you can with what you are learning. Now, on New Vision's website, there is an assessment there for the spiritual gift. It's not the exact one that's with this book. It's not the exact one that's with this book, but it is one that is close enough to this book. And if you go on the website, it's free. And there are many other spiritual gifts assessment on the internet. But a lot of those others, you heard me say in the beginning of our teaching, a lot of those, they group all three giftings together, the motivational gift, the manifestation gift, and the ministerial gift. They list them all together so your numbers are spread out far. You want to do the one on the website or one that's strictly with the motivational, okay? Because that is the gift that you are born with. That's what motivates you to do what you do. Manifestation gifts comes out of that. Your ministerial gifts, which is a fivefold ministry, will come out from that. Those gifts the manifestation gifts and the ministerial gifts, that they do not determine your motivational gift. Your motivational gift determines your ministerial gift and the gifts that are manifested through you. So you can go to that website, our website, www.newvisionforlife, and take the individual assessment. And if you have questions for me, you can reach me. You can reach me via hearttoheart@newvisionforlife.com. You can reach me that way. The majority of you a lot of you on here, you have my phone number. You can text me. You also can do my personal email, which is evangetta@msn.com. There's a whole lot of ways that you can get in touch with me if you have questions, or you can wait until we're back here next Saturday. Yay! Wait until we're back on next Saturday, and let's have our discussion. Because remember, this is Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. So, beloved, I love you. Have an awesome weekend. Worship the Lord with all your heart today. Go forth in your services tomorrow. Give God the praise, the glory, and the honor, because truly he is due it. He's worthy to be praised. And again, I thank you. God bless you. And I will see you next week, or at least hear you next week. And Minister Garnes will be back with me at that time. Take care, beloved. God bless.
Thank you for listening to Heart with Bishop Etta Banks. Heart to Heart is an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life, Kingdom Builders. Please visit our ministry website at www.newvisionforlife.com. As always, beloved, I pray that God will bless you and bless you mightily. And as he does, you will turn around and bless someone else. And then that person will turn around and bless someone. Then that person will turn around and bless God Almighty for the blessings that he bestowed upon them. And then God, in his awesome and infinite wisdom, will turn around and bless you one more time because you knew what to do with the blessings he bestowed upon you. I thank God for the completion of the circle of blessings. I beseech you, therefore, in the name of Jesus, that you go forth today and be a blessing to someone. And when you do, do so on purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.